I'm going to call to order the Committee on Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, Lane Transit District. Today is December 12th, 2019. President is Josh Scove. I'm myself, Don Norton, AJ Jackson, Kelly Hale, and another member here who's listening.
I'm just a minister for it.
Okay. All right. So, last time we sent you a opportunity.
I think, do you approve minutes?
Approval of minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so we have the minutes here, and I've read them. Okay with you, Josh?
Yes.
Okay.
To move to approve? I move to approve the minutes.
I guess I can second.
I appreciate that.
So then we'll move in second to approve the minutes of the last meeting of November 14th. And so done. And now I haven't prepared a comments from the chair. I didn't prepare comments from the chair, but I have. Now, I would just go back to what my observations and have been in the past and acknowledge that Kelly is moving to another position, and so I'm not quite sure how this fits at this point.
I have a feeling that was underway already.
I wasn't aware of it.
So last time, it seemed that AJ was going to prepare or start drafting a policy thing that we could work on to establish the policy for the Lane Transit District. And we can take, just turn it over to AJ and the staff from here.
So let me just first start off. This is AJ. Let's start off with, you noticed that we changed the setup of this meeting. Being that, you know, we think that there's a lot to be done here, and Mark's supposed to be here, but hopefully he'll be here shortly. We thought that engaging the three committee members kind of in a meeting format may allow us to kind of create a conversation back and forth versus kind of having members of the audience speaking. So we asked Kelly if Matt's able to come and Mark, and we would kind of allow this engagement and conversation to facilitate the committee's desire to move forward, and we thought that might be helpful. So we'll try it out to back. Kate's not here, so that we can kind of feel how all of that feels. And if you like that, then this committee can be something like that. All the key, the three committee members and the staff that's working on it, so that it's not kind of, it directs it to me, I direct it to somebody, or we're calling somebody out from the audience. We already schedule it this way. Is that doable? Do you guys like this format? Do you want to just try it and we'll have comments in the end?
I'm satisfied with this, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think I sort of expressed this last time. I don't want you to feel, I mean, you are necessarily an intermediary between board and staff, but I don't want you to feel burdened by that in a weird artificial way when we have work to do. So I think I will always defer to your level of comfort with that.
Okay. But yeah, so we're going to try this, and hopefully this kind of facilitates our conversation and you guys have more access to multiple staff members on this.
Note that Mark is joining the meeting.
Thank you. So I will, let's see if I can figure out how to open up the Word document first. Let me start off with that. Can you make it a little bit larger? So just to go back to, so at the last committee meeting, there was extensive discussion about how we kind of work from the original white paper that we have on sustainability policy that the board has adopted, and how do we add language that really talks about kind of our public transportation role in working with our partners. And we were really talking about what language would facilitate that. So this document that you'll see before you that I attached is, and you should also have that on your computers. And Don, you don't have one, but I can definitely open
it up, and it will also display it up there. But what I did was I looked for best practices, and I looked at least 20, maybe 25 transit agencies that I felt were progressive enough in sustainability that I wanted to see what they were doing. And I will go through a couple of the two that I felt were the best. But I was really looking for language that I had committed to bringing to you about kind of transit role in kind of in providing transit and in dense housing. And I was really interested to find, and I may have to go up there because I don't know if I'm good at scrolling.
I don't think that will be the link.
And I'm not doing it in the order I put it. I just put it. Can you just scroll all the way to the bottom? Because I want to address the one right before that, number 9. There we go, a little bit higher. Right there, 9. So it was interesting to find that on FTA's website, and the link is provided, and it is also posted on the agenda. Camille added it at my request. The FTA says public transportation plays an important role in confronting environmental challenges, and it says public transportation can, and it gives a list of different areas that transportation should play a role in. But in italics, I put facilitate compact development, conserving land, and decreasing travel demand, and I put that statement below that. Public transportation can support higher density land development, which reduces distance and time people need to travel to reach their destination, meaning fewer emissions from transportation. So, and it goes on a little bit further. But what I found interesting was that we can use this reference language to maybe provide a little bit tighter language, if you guys so desire, that basically says LTD, you know, supports higher density land use, like some of those statements that we talked about at the last meeting that you guys really wanted. So this really provides us that reference point so that we can talk to our local partners and saying, we do feel that we play an important role in this way, and the federal government does require us or suggest to us that we should be playing this key role. So I just wanted to first bring that concept to you and seeing if that's in line with what you were thinking. And I do think we need to tighten up the language, but I didn't want to kind of take a stab at it without you first supporting this concept.
I feel obliged to speak first. I'm 100% in favor of this. This is essentially exactly what I've said at like 10 different SPC and board meetings. So it would be weird if I did not immediately express support. So I appreciate you finding, in particular, like, you know, verbiage from FTA, which is its own kind of additional credibility. But yeah.
Don? Well, I would agree that, you know, and I think the LTD has been doing this work on exemplary. I appreciate Kelly's comments at the City Club. That I enjoyed hearing that, and I felt were well received there. The part that I wanted to extend a little bit further to is trying to engage with what is happening now with the climate strikes and such, bringing the youth in so that we can actually respond to this in a visible way that is beyond what the FTA guidelines are or with whatever our own verbiage is that we've put out for many years.
So I just wanted to show you that there is a point of reference that really speaks to what you guys were asking, and it's like you said, it brings its own kind of form of credibility on that. So I wanted, so that's good. This is language then we will use as our baseline.
I just want to clarify on that before we move on from this topic. So this should, I think, come before the, I mean, I just want to point out sort of the different uses for this, right? So I think this should be familiar to the board, right? And I don't, you know, this is something that would be appropriate for the retreat for sure, but I think that's something to bring to the board so the board feels comfortable. I mean, you know, if pressed in the right situation, I feel like any board member should be able to have this stuff spill out of their mouths pretty straightforwardly. So the board, one audience. I also think municipal partners that are trying to do kind of the other side of the coin, and that who's, you know, bailiwick is land use. Obviously, we should be connecting those dots. And then I also think this is language that's relevant. I think you kind of foreshadowed this before, AJ, like in transit tomorrow, and we can sort of use it explicitly. And then the last audience I would just say is, you know, I mentioned last time having spoken with Brendan Finn in the governor's office, and when we get to the point of having the opportunity to have a voice when there's climate legislation, it's not we're in favor or we're against, but rather here's the role that we can play in helping make that happen. And so I feel like this is a first draft of that as well. So I just want to make sure all those dots are like really clearly connected for us in advance.
And then I'll go on to kind of tell you kind of how, what else I on the research. Can you go to the last one? I think it's 10. And it is APTA just, so then I also found on APTA what is sustainability, and they say sustainability, preserving the environment, being socially responsible, and maintaining economic vitality with an overall contribution to quality of life is integral to what we do and what we provide as the public transportation industry. At its core, it's about practices that make good business sense and good environmental sense. Sustainability is a way to make our communities more livable by integrity and balancing economic, social, and environmental needs. So I use this basis for the research in trying to evaluate transit agencies that I felt that I can bring to you that we could potentially try to mirror as we move forward towards our own sustainability plan. So as I looked at the FTA language, then I looked at what APTA said, and I began doing some research. I saw that we have a very good policy statement that has very good bones, but it just doesn't really help us integrate that into the everyday work day and how, and I think it's not strong enough. So if you go all the way to the top, now we'll go all the way to the top, and in between they'll jump. The two transit agencies that I found the most impressive, and Kelly, Mark, Matt, Imlach from Fleet, and I have already sat down and reviewed this. I thought I would bring to you a lot of California properties. I was not that impressed with the California property sustainability plans. I will say that LA
Metro... You've been in Oregon too long.
Yeah. That I will say that LA Metro has a very good one, and they do, but they're the big giants, of course, in the whole West Coast. And their website is up there as a reference point, so I will reference them briefly. But I did want to quickly highlight the ones that I did like, because I think it has good bones. And as we look at language that we like, and we look at the these two plans, which is Sound and King County, I just want to get your thoughts if we're on the right direction. So if you would click on the first one, Camille, I believe it's the first one, the sustainability plan. So this is King County Metro Sustainability. And if you would just scroll slowly, because I want to point some key things. They start off with a simple, you know, introduction. You keep going. Sustainability at Metro, kind of good background for them. Keep going, Camille. Why sustainability matters? If you look at it, they don't put it in a very complicated way. It's very simple, one pager. Next one, Camille. The policy basis for sustainability, I think that's something that we're asked a lot about that, and they really explain that in a simple way. The next one.
Wait, just can you just say more? You're asked a lot about that. When, where, by whom?
Well, like the community really asks us about why we're doing things. Anytime we're doing transit tomorrow, we're doing moving ahead, they want us to explain the why all the time. And and we'll have a conversation at the retreat about those things. But sometimes we do, like we adopt the policy statement, like our current sustainability plan. We don't really answer the why. You know, where I think what you saw on FTA's website, on APTA's little snippet, they really start answering the why, because it's an important role we play. So those are kind of statements that we don't really utilize here to talk to our community as to why should LTD get involved in this? You know, so it really does count to that.
And I don't mean to derail this, but I want to make sure we don't, I had a couple other topics that I mentioned by email before, and I don't want to run out of time. I think this is important. Well, I'll just acknowledge, like, I've been through so many processes of trying to help people generate this sort of language that I might be a little bit jaded. So feel free to, like, weigh in as we go. But I just don't feel a lot of suspense around this. I feel like people already in the community are already pretty supportive of the kind of breadth of definition that you've already shown us versions of. And I don't think there'll be any pushback. And so, I mean, I feel like you should put some of these things in front of the, like, your favorite three examples or something, like maybe it's Sound Transit and King County Metro, and in front of the, you know, in front of board members in the context of the retreat, perhaps maybe a subsequent meeting, and have people kind of mull that over and see what they're comfortable with and react to it. But I guess I see so little, I have so little suspense around this, that I don't want us to get bogged down in it. I'm not saying, it's only 2:19, but I'm just,
Quick reports. I don't, these are samples that hopefully would be takeaways for this committee.
Yeah.
And say what in these two plans, if you like these plans, you don't have to like them. You can have different other plans, but we definitely want a starting point. And the only starting point we currently have is our own policy that really is not, you know, very sophisticated, and then we're coming up with language. So the conversation I was having was, should we just say that the current policy we have is good enough and we're just going to clean up some language, or potentially provide some opportunity for conversation to say, maybe we do want some key language that we're looking for, but we also want to make sure we expand it and we make it more integrated into the day-to-day business of LTD. Yeah. So it's very clear to how we do business that this is integrated, and it's very clear to the community and our partners that this is the way of business. It's sure. Part of our fabric. So that's all this brings to you. It doesn't bring that we're going to adopt these plans. It just gives you the categories and how they do it differently, but very similarly. And I think it's this one that has, it reminds me a lot of Callie's presentation and a lot of the structure she's already done. So I thought, wow, it's these plans, these two agencies appear to have the ones that could be a framework for us to really incorporate that into our business.
Right. So, yeah. So I guess what, and I agree with all of that.
And those are just recommendations.
They're great recommendations. I guess what the place where you'd want to spend the circumstances in which I think you would want to spend a lot of time, like, pushing people to dig in and really discussing this, is when you suspected that people were not entirely on the same page. And so you'd want to sort of facilitate people getting onto the same page. My sense from the board is that we are overwhelmingly on the same page, and that you and Kelly could propose something, and you know, it would be up to, I think, us and Kate to sort of push people to really engage it. I mean, we have a lot of materials aboard, but it would be pretty short and straightforward and say, hey, do you feel like this provides enough high level, it's only high level, but high level direction about, you know, communicating what's important under this umbrella, and then we would move on. And I think there would be very little sense of, you know, oh, that should be outside the boundary. You know, that's not part of it. You know what I mean? And there are situations where people sort of disagree over what's important for the agency. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think the best way to discover it would be to have that conversation with the board, with you guys proposing something.
And that is part of the board retreat with all of you present. But we were not going to go into letting them go through these plans, so that's why we wanted to bring them to you ahead of this.
I want to bring it back a little bit to, you know, what Oregon makes special is, you know, Senate Bill 100 and going back to the whole land use planning thing and indicating that we are a partner in a process that's been going on for 30, 40 years. And we're integrated with you know, there's agreement all over. As I read this stuff, it's very similar to that. I went to the presentations at Sound Transit, and these things were you know, nothing seemed outrageous. It was all like, well, that's what we should be doing. One is to go a little bit further now and say, what are we going to do as a our place on the planet? How do we integrate with all the other agencies to respond to what the youth of the area are demanding? Let's say, okay, what do we want to do so that we actually can go and answer the people who are, you know, going to get Route 28 cut back and say, well, you know, what do they get in turn for losing some service in the back, or what can we suggest to them? You know, and then that integrates in with their resistance to having denser housing, but it brings in that whole discussion of what has been the process and the agreement of the state of Oregon of how we want to develop housing and how we want to develop our communities and how we will service them with transportation. So what we're doing now is just, well, we're still in a little bit of a silo of working on, we're doing the transportation, but there was something in the MPO notes. Joe Burney said something that I wish I could remember, and I didn't bring it with me, but it indicated that he felt they were, you know, needed to do something like that. And then in my attendance at other board meetings, I felt like, well, everybody is in their little place they want to integrate, but we don't have the mechanism right now. So what I'm hoping is that we develop the policy that Kate was suggesting last time, so we can go out and integrate in with the agencies that you've expressed an interest in, and the other people that you've met with, and the other board members that I've met with. You know, everybody's kind of in agreement. We need to be a little more integrated.
And yeah, I think we agree with that, because what happens is counties and cities develop, and they develop, and transit is an afterthought. Oh, well, wait a minute. We just developed that here, so you need to bring a bus out here. It's like, well, no, we're not going to bring a bus out there because we wouldn't pick up anybody, right? So, you know, how do you have that conversation prior? And the reality is the land use goals and land use plans incorporate transit into that, so that's what's supposed to be taking place, but it just doesn't take place like it should.
Right. We have our transportation systems plan for every community. And I just read that in another note that, you know, Coburg was having that discussion about needing more transit between Metro and Coburg, and yet they recognize that, well, we don't have the ridership now, but, you know, it's also in terms of, okay, are we going to encourage the developers to build more densely in Coburg and Junction City and Cottage Grove and all that, so that they can take advantage of transit, which we wouldn't take advantage now because it's too limited.
Right.
And then we need the budget to support that. That's, you know, so we need a policy that
legislature. And I think that's what we're getting at, is that, you know, we're
defining our role in that process.
Yeah.
Really,
so that,
what this is about.
So that we have stronger purview. And I don't need to go through all of these, but what I will recommend is that you go through that. Could you do the other one, Sound Transit? I think the Sound Transit is a people.
Was this a download next to the agenda and I missed it?
I think you're not logged on to internet, are you?
I'm not. For some reason,
it's on the website, on the same location as the agenda.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I only grabbed the agenda.
Well,
my apologies.
Sample sustainability.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
We just thought it didn't make sense to download it, have the whole file
when there's
a link and you
sure.
can search through it.
No, you're right.
So you can do Sound Transit. The Sound Transit one, I think it's the first one. And Kelly does have a presentation for you guys today. Why is it not? We checked them all and they all came. There it goes. That's the other one is a PDF.
Let me try the master folder one moment.
The other one's a PDF.
Yeah, it's not.
You can just.
It won't load.
You can just go on the internet and go Sound Transit Sustainability Plan. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, you just, or on their website, we'll do it too. Their plan really focused, was it Kelly, on people, prosperity, and planet? Is that the second one, was it? You go one more down. There it goes. That's the one. Yeah. And that one, they did something very similar to King's sustainability plan. They kind of did what Kelly did, is they explained where we started, the timeline, where we are today. Keep going, Camille. What they're doing, very well laid out. One single chart, they did a really good job. And agency sustainability, also really good. And then everything else, you start, they start going into, I think, click on one more. And the other thing, though, these two plans both have, they call it charting the course, and the other one calls it something else. They actually talk about what they're doing and going to do, which a lot of plans, for some reason, miss those pieces. You would think a plan would have them. A lot of them talk about the great things they want to do, or a wish list, or you know, they take it. These two really had me, yet they present it in a very simple way. So, and I think that's what we've heard from the board, especially this committee, that it's like, we want to know not just that we're going to have these policy statements, that it's going to be integrated into the fabric, and that we're actually going to do something with that. And so these two plans I pulled as examples of what potentially we could really consider, so it really becomes integrated into all the decisions we made, and that's key to both of these plans. And that language, like we talked about earlier, from FTA is utilized in that to really define our role in what we want to accomplish. So that's why these are here, just so you know. Because I thought there's a lot in there that we don't have at our agency, and that many agencies don't have. And these two agencies appear to be doing a great
Sound
job.
Sound Transit is a brand new one to us, 2018. In King County, it's like 2014.
14, yeah.
So a couple reactions, good. And then I know
she's got a presentation.
We have other things to hear from. Thank you so much for going and looking at this stuff. And I really appreciate not just that you did this work, but you did it with an eye to like what would be useful and impactful for the agency. I just want to say many of these reports end up being so enticing and charismatic in the process that they suck a ton of FTEs into them, and then often there isn't energy left over for integration and next steps and saying what people are going to do. I would strongly oppose doing any plan like this in advance of having a full business plan for the agency, the strategic business plan. So in fact, I'm not even sure we will want one of these if we do a good job with the strategic business plan. These always make people feel good. I mean, look, it's gorgeous. I think those are the Cascades or the Olympics. You can see both from Seattle. So the
east or west.
That's right. You can turn 180 degrees. I just want to make sure, like, as we think about allocating effort, because this has been a theme for this committee, we want to make sure we're not giving recommendations that misallocate scarce resources. I think you should, grab those items, and not just the whole PDFs, but like the pages and the sections that you found really compelling, and make sure that you, this will mean most coming from you, AJ, inject that into the discussion about the strategic business plan and, other things at the retreat. And then after we get through that process at some point in the future, then we can look back and say, okay, are we missing elements of sustainability governance that we should have, governance and planning? So that would be my suggestion. Does that make sense as a prioritization?
Yes, I think you're on the same page we are. At this committee, of course, we're getting a little bit more into the weeds than we are able to, of course, with the entire board.
Yeah.
Because these are big topics to discuss. And yes, we do believe that we need to engage the board at the retreat and get their thoughts in advance. But we wanted to provide this committee an opportunity to say, hey, we can go big, or we can work off the current policy. Like, you know, or we can start from scratch and do something completely different.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And that's the, those are the fields that without really getting that from what the board members want, we don't have that sense. So, yeah. But when you, like, that's great to hear that you're like, don't do that without a sustainability plan. So as part of that discussion at the board, of course, the board is kind of less specifically focused on any one topic and kind of more across the board. We did want to have the opportunity to let you know that there are good models for us should we want to do something separate.
Yeah, and I think you should share like the highlights. I think that would be really compelling to, for you to share the highlights in the at the board retreat, if you can. I mean, if
I don't know how much time we will have. That is like jam packed.
Okay, I think we could break it down though in one or two slides.
Well, I don't think we were going to do and Matt were going to do something. I think Matt and her.
Let me be clear about the intention. So, like, the point is, like, and think about the word that Don like very carefully used. He used the word silo. Right. The point is for this stuff not to be siloed and for it to be integrated. So I think any sort of discussion about a strategic business plan, any sort of like that big picture needs to have this in there, because really the purpose of the subcommittee was not to further silo the effort, but to figure out how best to weave it into the other things we're doing. And so I think even if it's just briefly for you to bring this up, I mean, you know, the highlights of the FTA stuff, even the FTA stuff and the APTA stuff combined, they're pretty short, right? And so I think, you know, just a little bit could make a really big difference.
Okay. Those are things we can try to integrate into those.
And just last thing to tack onto this, I had to look up the number. Does anybody here have a lot of planners in their lives? You know how people always will whip out, I'll be like, goal one this, goal five that, like it, referring to Senate Bill 100. Goal 12, I did not have that memorized, is transportation. So you just need to goal 12 people all the time. Well, goal 12. Just say, because goal 12. Goal 12.
Yeah, goal 12.
And like, and have them, you know, the quizzical look on their face. You'd be like, transportation? Anyway, so, and then that's, but the very serious part of that is that that is the overarching governance for land use. That is the sort of the framework for everything that has to happen with land use. It's kind of silly because there are like 20 goals or 22 or whatever now, something like that. But transportation is a big deal, and we have that excuse to bring it back to people when they're making land use decisions. And then anyway, all that FTA stuff looks exactly like Envision Eugene, right? The or for that matter, Springfield 2040 or whatever their planning process was a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing there that's inconsistent with the high-level stated goals that our local partners have. So they just need a reminder on transportation.
Do that.
And transit.
And the only other thing I had was, and then let me, can you open up that Word one so I can complete my section? If you scroll down, the board was looking at combining, and that's just for your reference, you don't have, remember we were you guys were looking at the Metro's website, right, combining LTD and LA Metro's language, so I added sample language in that
That's great.
For you guys on that. So that document.
Well, it's over there. It's so far away.
Thank you.
Do you want me to sit here? Do you want me to sit there?
No, that public seating, if you don't mind.
Sir, this is being recorded, if you could be mindful of that as you interrupt our meeting.
Thank you so much.
So we, so I just provided some of that language so you guys could read over and determine if we do stay with the original policy, we could utilize and just integrate that. So wanted to make sure you guys have the broad spectrum of options to say if this committee is recommending we kind of use the existing policy and just clean up some of the language, or we do something.
You keep trying to have the connecting words so that if we take this policy to another agency, then it fits. You know, it says, okay, we're going over to the Eugene Planning Department, and this is going to fit, or we're going to go to Springfield or any of the exurb communities and make sure that our transportation policy gets integrated into, you know, the
but
energy.
We have no power over that. I mean, the entities, all we can do is
well,
work
we have
with
the,
them and
what
tell
was
them
the,
this is our policy, and our policy is intended to work with your policies.
Right.
And you know, whether they do it or not, and this we've been battling for years, we have no control over. And so all we can do is be good partners and really try to have them understand, you know, what decisions they're making, the impact it will have on transportation. They still make the decisions they're going
to
make.
But still, part of our thing was to use the big lever. You know, we have a lot of resource that were available to put into the metro area. And just, you know, we can't force them, of course, right. But whatever we can do with that lever to try to make the whole goals work.
And I will say, I think we played a very strong role, especially on Transit Tomorrow and moving ahead with our partner, the City of Eugene. I think to the community, we definitely play a very partnership role, which we are, but I think we're a very strong voice. I mean, I don't think we show that as much, but I will say that a lot of the comments that you guys make, we use that in our meetings to really emphasize some of this important elements that you're speaking about. So maybe that's what we're not capturing, because I do think that the City of Eugene is very well aware that Transit Tomorrow is part of some of the strong efforts we are making for our partnership with them on sustainability. Like, they know that, and we are very clear to them about how we're expecting their support in us supporting them. So we do use strong language so that they are very clear about some of the decisions you're making and some of the concerns you have. We don't have a policy, and maybe that's what's missing so that you really can see that more.
So I appreciate the way you said that. You said they. I just want to unpack that. I think at the level of staff, I think those things are clear. City councilors are spread across so many different issues. I'm not sure I agree that they are ready, on the tip of their tongues. They have a defense of Transit Tomorrow's intentions and how it connects to climate action goals, for example, that the city has. And so I have not seen that evidence. And so I do think we will have to do that work. And that's also something for board members to do, maybe more than general manager.
But I will
staff.
Say that I know most recently I've met with at least 3 city councilors to address that very comment, that we are seeing ourselves as a strong partner in their efforts, and that Transit Tomorrow plays an important role on that. So so we are doing that, but I think definitely the conversations from the board to the city council probably weigh a lot heavier. So I do agree with you there.
Okay, but that's... But I think as we incorporate this stuff in more of our messaging and more settings, then more people in leadership positions will feel that those dots are connected. And so
I agree.
It'll serve that
this purpose. Is why I want to keep going back to this debunked board that I wanted to form, as people from mid-level of the various agencies have a defined and funded position to address the issue, bring everybody out of their silos, put them in one place and say, we are all living here on the planet in this place, and what can we do everywhere? Because, it's like Josh has said, the city councilors and the people in the executive positions, they have things to do. They have agencies to run. They've got all these other stuff to do. We want to focus one group of people onto this particular issue and keep that as a standard focus, and invite the people from Juliana or the youth to come in and participate in this is what's going to happen to us, and they're going to be the ones who are going to have to live through it. I mean, I get to skip out of here. I'm going to last maybe 20 years, 20 months, I don't know, but it's the younger people are going to have to bear the brunt of it.
So the last comment I have on this section, and then we must hear from Kelly. That's all I have on here more, but you have continued to say, and I appreciate this, like offering, if we have feedback, if you want to look at this stuff. I after seeing this, I have total confidence in you and Kelly, or you, Kelly, and Mark, whoever is appropriate, to suggest what you feel is useful, because okay. you were very clear that you were looking at it with an eye to like what will be useful. So I trust your eye on that point, and I'd love it for you to elevate something for consideration by the board. And then, I will go back, and I apologize for not having done that and only looked at the agenda, which is a little anticlimactic. I will go back and look at that. If I have strong feelings, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But looking at the FTA language, you know, I mean, having seen the King County report before, looking at what's in the Sound Transit piece, I feel comfortable with you sort of cherry picking appropriately for us. I just want to make sure it's grabbing something that's high-level policy language that you feel you need right now, putting off any grand, gorgeous sustainability plan PDF production for the distant future, if ever, and focusing on strategic business plan and incorporating sustainability into that.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. And now Kelly.
Hello, this is Kelly Hale, Sustainability Program Manager here at LTD. And Camille is getting the slides up here. So thank you all for being here, for caring about these issues. And as any good instructor, I would hope that we would understand kind of what the goals are of this particular presentation. And so based on the meeting that that you all had a couple of weeks ago, the last ad hoc meeting, I had three real goals for taking the next 20 minutes to just cover a couple of key points. By the time we finished this presentation, my goals were that you guys would understand what is currently outlined in the job responsibilities of the Sustainability Program Manager. You would have a better understanding of what we have accomplished so far to date and where we're headed next. And so that was really the point of putting a couple of slides together, just to make sure we're all on the same page. I wanted to start with just three quick slides of background that really dovetail with what AJ has been talking about so far today, because I really appreciated her doing that research. And you know, I have a lot of experience with putting together sustainability reports and plans in the past, but as does Josh, obviously. A lot of that is the same experience, but wanted to really talk about how that relates to this committee, specifically the board's role, and what staff is already doing and how those can dovetail. So, and then I'll spend the bulk of the rest of the time talking about those three components of the Sustainability Program Manager's job: the fleet projects that we're doing, the regional coordination that I'm responsible for right now, and the facilitation of the Green Dream Team and what projects we've been working on there. And then, as Don mentioned earlier, there have been a few changes to my role since we last met as a committee. So I'd just touch on that at the end and give you guys a chance to ask questions of what that means for the program moving forward. So these quick three slides of background. This is nothing new. You guys have seen all this before, but I just wanted to call attention to the fact that back in 2007, when the sustainability policy was passed by the board, there were these four components. And this was actually created, the content here was drafted by staff and just brought for consideration from the board. And you know, this was more than 12 years ago. And I just wanted to say, as you guys all have seen from the GHG inventory results, and we'll touch back on that, but these four topics seem to make sense, right? They are reasonable topics for, and they're prioritized actually in an order here that makes sense based on the results of the greenhouse gas inventory and the work that transit is responsible for and doing. But they were created, this policy was kind of created in somewhat of a vacuum. It was a staff person who brought this, and it was you know, passed, but then there was no components to it, as AJ is talking about how to implement that and how to then make that a focus of the work that is being done here at the district. So then we moved into 2015, and that was when that mission, vision, values process was developed. And and again, both of these things were before my time here at LTD, but we went through a fairly extensive process to figure out why we do what we do, how we do it, and what we do. And the word sustainability is woven throughout this, and I think it really came from that policy originally, but there was no explicit connection from this process back to that sustainability policy, and then there was no explicit connection to what was included in people's job descriptions or the goals that we were actually measuring and the key performance indicators that that we're measuring here at the district to figure out how we are doing those things and how we are being successful towards them. And so then here we are in 2019, and a couple of months ago I came and brought you these results to say, okay, when we look at the data, it actually bears out that those four areas that were selected back in 2007 make sense, right? We know that it was provide quality transit service was the first area, and we know that the benefits, the GHG benefits of transit far outweigh even our impacts from our direct operations, even with our diesel buses that we have on the road today. Then the second item was use environmentally friendly vehicles, and we know that from this set of results, there is lots of opportunity. The elephant in the room is our fleet. We know that's the big deal, and we know that there's opportunity to reduce that. The third thing from the sustainability policy in 27 was constructing earth-friendly practices, and we see that far green bar on the supply chain that says the bulk of the emissions from that component, our second biggest source of emissions, is from the construction projects that we're responsible for, and that requires partnership with other regional partners in our area. And then the last one from the sustainability policy in 2007 was implementing sustainable operating practices. And that's kind of a catch-all category for everything else, right? We've named the really big things, and now we have to do things to address all the rest of those categories. And so I just throw up these three slides here to just say that right now we have these three pieces of guiding documentation for staff to say this is what matters, but they're not connected. And that's really what I see as the opportunity for this committee, is to help continue to bolster the policy language and the connections for staff to understand where do we go from here. Because I have a number of ideas. I'm sure AJ and Mark have a number of ideas, but we want to vet those with the board to make sure that what we are moving forward with doing is implementing your vision. So with that, I wanted to just now get a chance to touch base on what we have explicitly put into the role of the sustainability program manager. And so I have four things listed up here. The first one is ridership, but you'll notice that it's a little bit grayed out. And the reason I have that first is that first and foremost, that should be everybody's job responsibility here at a transit agency. Whether you're somebody who's cleaning the buses, whether you're fueling the buses, whether you're cleaning our offices, whether you are, you know, in customer service or actually putting buses on the road or driving them, we are all involved in increasing ridership. And so that's not, there's no single person that is having that sole responsibility, but it is the top responsibility. So then the three things that were directly under my role were some projects related to our fleet, as we know that that's the biggest impact source. The regional coordination and that Green Dream Team facilitation. So within the fleet area, what has been the primary focus of my activities to date so far have been three things. First of all, we've been running our electric bus testing program. And part of that has been really focused on figuring out what the logistics take to get these electric buses on the road, collecting the important data to figure out if they will work for our operations and how many of those vehicles will work for our operations. And what configurations we need to do to make those run as efficiently and as effectively as possible. So we've been focused on that. We've also been focused on understanding that baseline impact of our operations. And since, you know, I've listed that from the greenhouse gas inventory perspective and the energy baseline, and I've listed that under fleet because so much of our impact relates to fleet. And then that leads us directly into this next big project that we have begun so far and we will continue into 2020, which is the fleet procurement plan. We are on the hook with figuring out what vehicles we need to buy next. And we have to figure out what the total cost of ownership and the triple bottom line types of impacts are from different fleet investments. And so that's where that project is headed into 2020. When it comes to regional coordination, so much is being done on this front, and I wanted to just take a couple of minutes and highlight some of this so that you really understand what's happening, because I think at the last meeting there was some incomplete picture of all of the different pieces of work that are being done at all different levels that LTD is involved in. The two big projects that I wanted to highlight are the first two bullets. The first is that there is a process where LTD is a partner in a process being led by the MPO. LCOG and ODOT are working together to build on this scenario planning work that was done in 2015. Josh, you mentioned it at the last meeting. Josh Roll was involved in that. So when that work to figure out what scenarios are going to be most effective in reducing greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector, that process is now being continued to say there is a there's a tool that has been developed by ODOT to figure out when you pull on different policy levers, what kind of outcomes are possible or achievable. One of the outcomes could be greenhouse gas reduction, but there's a number of other outcomes, whether it relates to congestion or economic characteristics for the community. And so by working with ODOT and getting our LCOG staff trained to be able to use this model, we are able to put some inputs in as a region. So LTD is one group that's putting inputs into this model. Both cities, the county, other partners are putting inputs into the model to figure out what the opportunities are for pulling on policy levers to get the kinds of outcomes that we want. And that process is happening right now. We are finalizing what those inputs might be right now, and we're hoping to see what the outputs of that process will be at some point in 2020, hopefully in the first half of 2020.
And just a quick question. That's super exciting. That sounds like that's a bigger modeling effort than the scenario planning, which was very GHG focused as an output. I mean, the stuff that happened before. So is that right?
This came out of modeling for GHG benefit, but we've realized that there are other community benefits that people have goals around, and the same tool can be used to understand the implications for multiple goals at the same time. So it really did come out of a GHG lens, but they are broadening what the tool can do in order to understand not only GHG implications, but some of these other goals at the same time. We know that reducing greenhouse gas emissions also has a number of co-benefits as well, and so they're looking at all of that together.
Okay, it sounds like what you're doing is a lot of what I've been advocating, so I appreciate that. I'm also wondering, we have this pilot project with ODOT coming up. Is there some way we can integrate with that pilot to leverage this a little bit more?
Which pilot project are you
referring to? They're just, they're having a meeting on Monday at the OTC about how this pilot is. Well, that'll be just one of the items. So the ODOT's putting out a pilot to use the Lane regional area for transportation to make this process or that organization more effective.
This is what you mentioned last time, where instead of just helping Lane Act become more than just a forum for lobbying for individual projects to different jurisdictions, but instead do more integrated transportation thinking? Was that it?
Bringing it together.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's helpful. That's interesting. I bet those are different parts of ODOT, but
that's not a reason and everything
that it can't happen. But no, that's an interesting thing to connect it to. Do you have a reaction to that?
A point of connection that I can bring to the next meeting.
Okay,
I mean, just so I understand, I mean, without putting an ODOT org chart up there, I mean, this is all. What you've talked about is really making sure we have the local capacity to use the ODOT tools for modeling, so we do scenario planning in support of understanding GHG reduction benefits, but also air quality, congestion, et cetera. And so, like, all that stuff comes out of this newer, souped-up version of the model.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Well, goodness. I mean, just to connect these dots before we move on, at the very least, the results from an effort like that would be things that one could share so people hear the results. I mean, there may be many jurisdictions where the people representing them at Lane Act are less enthusiastic about hearing about greenhouse gas emissions reductions, but excited to hear about congestion and air quality and other benefits. So that strikes me as something that group at least is an audience for the outputs that come out of this. I don't know if you want to tack on anything else. I'm not sure what else would happen.
I'm going to leave it at that for now. I just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware that this process was happening, because you were asking about a lot of things that are very much like what is happening now. So
thank you.
The next one here is the City of Eugene Climate Action Plan 2.0 and the gap analysis that was conducted last year. So one of the things that happened is that when the City of Eugene passed the Climate Recovery Ordinance, there were a number of very ambitious goals. And what they then decided to do is figure out how far along towards meeting those goals are we with the actions that are already planned in our community. And so they went around to all these groups that they called large lever shareholders, and LTD was a large lever shareholder. Those were public entities that have large swaths of the built environment that are responsible for infrastructure, but also emissions in the community. So groups like University of Oregon, LCC, the school districts, EWEB, Northwest Natural, LTD, those are kinds of large lever shareholders. And they asked everybody, what are you already planning to do that is a greenhouse gas reduction effort? And then they were able to model the impact of all those cumulative projects to say, how close are we to meeting the ambitious goals that were in the CRO? And so those results came out in the summer to fall of last year, I want to say. We realized, as we probably expected, that there was a significant gap still to be achieved, that we were making a dent, we were taking action, and that all of these collective groups were planning to move forward, but that there was still a significant gap. And so how were we going to collectively think about that gap, and how would we be able to encourage the political will to at least be there for the things that have already been committed to but perhaps not yet implemented?
Do you know if the Laney SD is involved in that?
I know the school district was.
Well, I guess that would just be the coordinating area for the school districts.
Yeah.
But
so that is that discussion is also happening, to say, what can we do collectively as a group, and how can we move this process forward now that we know we are not in danger of taking too much action on climate change, according to the goals that the city has set. So then there's a number of other efforts that are happening at the same time. So this is a long list, and I won't spend too much time on it, but ZEBRA is a transit-specific group. So it's called the Zero Emission Bus Resource Alliance, and it is a group of transit agencies across the country that have gotten together to share information about how they're doing zero-emission bus deployments. There is the APTA Sustainability Commitment, and there are folks that are sharing information and best practices within that. There's a group that LTD joined this year called the Northwest Alliance for Clean Transportation, and that's a natural gas and renewable natural gas focused trade organization. So LTD went down to California to tour some facilities that are using renewable natural gas down in California and learn more about that process and share information there. Good Company and the Department of Environmental Quality recently held a one-day workshop that was a peer exchange. And so it was very much along the lines of what you were talking about, Don, about getting cities and counties and other public entities from across the state together in one room to share best practices. And so we just did that in October of this year. It was very successful, and they're planning on doing that either twice a year or potentially once a quarter. We're still trying to figure out the timing of that moving forward. There have been a number of climate town halls sponsored by Eugene 350 that LTD has been participating in. We are a member of Green Lane, which is a sustainability networking group. And so we've been going to those meetings, and we're also presenting at the January 8th meeting on that. And then you mentioned the City Club presentation. So we're trying to get the message out about what we're doing and how we're partnering with the key regional partners in our area on a number of these fronts.
Could you say a little bit more about Green Lane? I don't know anything about it.
So it's a business networking group, and it's a trade association for anybody who would like to become a member. You pay membership dues, and then you can come. They do educational sessions once a month to learn about and share best practices from different entities in the Eugene-Springfield metro area.
Good.
So lastly, I'll just touch on what the Green Dream Team has been up to. And I put this up here just as a reference because when we created the Green Team, or we recreated the Green Team, Green Team has been here for a long time at LTD, but when I came in to start refacilitating some of those meetings, we really wanted to hone in on what this group was and why we existed, similar to, you know, as you guys have been struggling with, what is the Ad Hoc Sustainability Group and why was it created? You know, we took that same mission, vision, values process that LTD had done on why we do what we do, how we do it, and what we do, and really tailored that to what the GDT was going to be responsible for. So, you know, up there we just said the Green Dream Team exists to guide and facilitate across a collaborative cross-departmental effort that will support LTD's mission of, and then we state our mission. So creating a more vibrant, sustainable, and equitable community comes from our mission statement. The how we do what we do is exactly the same as what it is for the organization. And then under what we do, you know, we were just outlining the scope of our activities. So education, research, analysis, and evaluation activities to support robust decision-making and project implementation. So that was really the narrowing the scope of our activities. And within that, this is kind of the everything else, right? So we've got the fleet activities that we know are addressing the biggest sources of impact, and then the GDT is there to address that fourth component of the sustainability policy, implementing sustainable operating practices. We have implemented a Driveless 365 program that has really focused on encouraging employees here at LTD to live our mission and try out active forms of transportation. And just the latest one was at the Get There Challenge, we provided prizes, and we were able to increase the number of people participating in that challenge by 25%, and we increased the number of trips taken by non-single occupancy vehicle means by 78% in this last challenge through GDT's support. We have implemented a paid volunteer program to go out into the community and do projects, and the GDT has been offering sustainability-themed projects for that program, and we've had about 70 hours worth of staff time just in the 6 months since the project started of going out into the community and donating our time in support of community projects. We did a waste audit here at the district in 2017. So that picture at the bottom is from that. The picture at the top there is from the paid volunteering program going out and picking trash out of the river. But the picture at the bottom is from our waste audit. And then we took the results of our waste audit and implemented that in 30-minute training for all employees across the district on ways that they could improve their knowledge on what is recyclable and compostable here at the district. We also did an energy efficiency audit through Oregon State, and we implemented one of their recommendations, which were some very specific and exciting opportunities for energy efficiency within our server room here at LTD. So we have done a number of projects. We've accomplished a lot to date, and we are moving forward with a couple of new initiatives. Where we go from here, though, is what we don't have is a set of specific goals that come from the board to direct our activities to say, these are the areas of focus we want you to focus on, in on, and these are the areas that we want you to accomplish, you know, specific reductions. So that is an opportunity that we could figure out as we move forward as to how you want to help direct which are the prioritized areas of focus. As we move into 2020, I am really excited that I will be moving to a full-time position. I've been at a 20-hour-a-week position thus far as the sustainability program manager. All of the work that I've been doing, I will get to keep, which I'm really excited about, but I will move over into the fleet maintenance building. I will now be under Matt Imlach, the fleet director, and I will also have two other components to my role that are really focused on the fleet, being an analyst for the fleet department, to be able to understand, since that is the area where we have some of our largest impacts, understand how we can improve low-hanging fruit, increase our efficiency, reduce our impacts, And then I'll also be helping with developing a strategic vision for our training department. So with that, you know, those explicit policy level connections between some of these pieces and helping us figure out what goals you want to see staff accomplishing would be helpful as we move forward. So I'll stop there and take questions.
That is really helpful, Kelly. Yeah, thank you.
Want me to go first, or do you have reactions?
No, you'll speak a lot. Maybe I'll.
I'll give you time.
Takes me a while.
I'm good with all of it. Don? Hmm? No, just kidding. Okay, so so super helpful to, just for us to have this context and to figure out how to pass this on to the board. I definitely want, you know, I want you to keep coming before the board periodically, but I have to figure out sort of the level of detail. I do think it will be important to communicate to the board that your activity, your leadership, the activities of the Green Dream team. Sorry,
it's a mouthful.
I should be able to master that. Is it a Green Dream team. Or a Green Dream team? I like the ambiguity. But I think it's important for us to communicate that stuff is handled. This committee can check in on that and let the board know that it's handled. That actually is the first really clear example of a division of labor where the board should not hear about the waste audit. That simply does not rise to board level. We have other things that need to happen, but that evocative detail is helpful for us to know so we can say to the board, there's a lot of different stuff going on. If you really want to know, join this committee or take a look at Kelly's presentation that's from the December 12th meeting. So that is very helpful for us to be able to do. In terms of the two things you asked for, you said, hey, could use some goals in areas where we want reductions. Just a couple of things about that, and then curious to hear your reaction. First of all, areas for reductions, that sounds like it's GHG-centric, that's fine. So we
or
kind
improvements.
Of, yeah, or improvements. We kind of know that because you look for reductions in the big things, not the small things. And there's, you know, really only two big things. And one of them's fleet, and the other is sort of avoiding emissions from transportation in the community. Like, so that's really, those are the things that where I think the board should focus. But that level of focus might not be present in all board members' minds, and so I think we should probably have that as a message as well. We should come back and say, just so you know, having spent a little more time with the GHG inventory and heard from Kelly, these really are areas of focus. So I guess the dots I want to connect there, it's clearly this relates to transit tomorrow and having good messaging on transit tomorrow. People should know that transit tomorrow is, can you flip back to like whatever, it's like slide 4 or something like that? I don't know how quickly you can get back there. But this is not in the version that's online, but the version that Kelly has. That left-hand graph that shows operational emissions versus ridership benefit, that's the thing that we should be featuring with transit tomorrow. Not because that answers everything that matters about ridership versus coverage, not that it captures all benefits from transit, obviously it doesn't, but that should be one part of the frame of reference, and we need to return to that for people. And I think it will be a surprise for many people in the community to not just see that sense of scale, but also to know that LTD is bothering to calculate that now, we hope, regularly in perpetuity. So I do think there's some connection between the things you're already doing and these other things that the agency is doing and the messaging that we need to have there. So that's the one thing I would say about areas where we want reductions. I will say we don't have explicit goals on this. I think what I feel I have gathered, tell me if this isn't right, Don, but what I have gathered is that, and I don't mean that you guys have necessarily said this. Some of you have said this, but I've also sort of seen this in the outside world. On the one hand, we could act like TriMet and set a goal that's super cool sounding and shows up in a headline and that we have absolutely no idea how we'll meet. Or we could gather a little bit more information before we set a goal. I want to make sure that we don't do the extreme version of that, which is waiting until we know everything before we set a goal. Then the goal fails to serve certain purposes. part of the reason you set a goal that seems doable, but that you don't quite know how to get to, is that, like, that then it actually is, I mean, it's a stretch goal, it's an ambition, it sort of focuses your mind on what to look for. So I am fine carrying that message to the board, but to me that does not mean waiting until 2022 to set a GHG reduction goal for the agency. And I also think we have this tricky thing of how we set a goal for the community, because we have real reticence. I mean, AJ sort of had this in some of the things she said, and Mark, you even said, we don't have control for these people. We don't have control, but we do have influence. And so it would be really nice if we could somehow, maybe with the scenario planning in hand, collaborate with the city of Eugene and LCOG and say, you know, here's the goal we have for GHG reduction for the community. Because it's the community's emissions that matter, right? That's way bigger than our fleet's ever going to be. How do we have a goal related to transportation greenhouse gas emissions? Now, that is super scary for a lot of people to talk about. I understand that. But that's really where we're going to get real leverage. I mean, that's where we're going to make a difference. We should have electric buses, and that's awesome. But it's just having buses and having first-last mile solutions and having collaborations with micro-mobility providers and, you know, like, you know, reaching out to the community, helping to transform people's habits. That's where the real impact will happen. So that's an area, to use your verbiage, Kelly, that's an area where we want to seek reductions, but it is tricky, and, you know, to figure out how we get to a goal. So I think that really is the essence of the sort of the policy level challenge, I think.
One thing that relates kind of back to the triple bottom line thing, because there's always economics and there's the people and then there's the greenhouse gas reductions that you're trying to accomplish. So in economics plays a pretty important role in greenhouse gas reduction when it comes to fleet. And so, and that's what Kelly's working on now as far as a fleet replacement plan with that in mind. And so that we can come back to the board and say, okay, you know, if you want us to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by, you know, in our fleet by, pick a number, 50% in the next 10 years, here's what that might look like. You know, and this is what it will cost. And so that you have information that the board can say, oh, okay, do we have the money? Where are we going to get the money? And, you know, so is it doable?
Mark, I have a question. Back in, I don't know, 2015 or something like that, we participated in some sort of sustainability action in North Carolina. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
We came back with, we're going to wash the buses less and stuff like that. But there was some action, put it in the program. You know, it's on all of our literature and stuff like that. But now this is a totally upgraded sort of thing. This is a completely different kind of concept.
Well, this is kind of our personal iteration of that, because ESMS system is good, but it's really complicated to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we kind of took a step back and said, what are we trying to accomplish?
Right.
You know, and so we just kind of went a different direction, but still accomplishing the same goals.
But
yeah, well, it ends up in the literature. You know, you read the old board reports and the budgets and everything. Well, sustainability, we've been working on that all the time, but it's really a different animal we're talking about right now with this level of analysis and goal setting.
Yeah.
And then there was no GHG reduction goal for the community or even the agency the ESMS work before. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's one of the different things. I guess the reason I focus on these relatively few things is I'm trying to figure out what we should use scarce board level bandwidth for. And so to me, those seem like the things to wrestle with.
So my question, I guess, for you is the four areas focused on in the 2007 sustainability policy, do you guys want those to stay? And
I mean,
or
like,
do you have plans to update that as areas of focus, right?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I feel like these are sufficiently high level and sufficiently broad that they capture things that, I mean, this is, it's pretty mom and apple pie. I feel fine with it with the caveat that first, caveats, plural, first, what AJ provided at the beginning of the meeting is essentially more flesh on some of these bones, and some of it relates to the agency and some of it relates to collaborations. All the land use stuff is sort of, it's kind of, you know, relates to transit, but it's about our relationships with other jurisdictions and with the jurisdictions. And then that language neither specifies nor precludes having more, you know, detail for, you know, bigger goals or other goals, like, you know, GHG reduction goals for the agency or for the community. So I think it's fine. I mean, but it's so high level, not in a bad way. I mean, this is fine, that it captures both things that, to describe it the way I described it before, things that the GDT should be working on, that this committee should know about, and then mention to the board, but that the board shouldn't deal with at all, and things that the board should really wrestle with. But, you know what I mean? It has sort of like both levels.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just operating under the, you know, this was done in 2007. It's a completely different board since that time. I didn't know what you guys were thinking about related to that and those four areas. And that's what I've been operating under to date. And I, as I mentioned, I think that they're reasonable. Those four actually match surprisingly well to the results of
Has there been one single time when you felt you couldn't do something because this language prohibited you from doing it?
No, but...
Yeah.
No, we're just going on our merry way without any real board direction.
Exactly. So that's why I'm explicitly asking.
This strikes me as a very long leash.
It is. So that's why I'm asking if that's what your intention is. Or if that leash is changing anytime soon, so that I should be prepared to get jerked.
No, so, yeah, so, but let me circle back. Well, Don, do you want to pitch in, or can I say more
no,
about that?
No, I'm supportive of what I'm seeing here and feeling good about it. I could support it all as well, and I'll try to promulgate that when I can.
Yeah, well, and I think that, actually, just saying it that way, it gets to like what I think where we do need to develop a little more specificity. I don't know that this needs to be in policy. I think this is, I'm sort of giving you draft direction that ultimately has to go through our whole committee and the board. But you're already describing points of contact with the outside world, some of which are in the community, some of which are beyond, where you're carrying some of these messages. I think what AJ showed us earlier is stuff that we should have in our minds and mouths when we're, you know, interacting with people. But then we also have to get to some actual goals at some point. And one of the goals we could set at the board level, right, related to fleet, but the other one related to the impact that our system has in the community, that's, we could set that goal, but it's sort of like saying, Mark, I have an exercise goal for you, right? I mean, so it's like, it doesn't really make sense. It should be a collaborative thing. And so we have to figure out what that process is. I think the only, I have two areas of specificity on this. The first is that we really should wrestle with this, with the city of Eugene, because the city has sort of goals and a plan, sort of, with the, you know, CAP 2.0. But I mean, like, really, it's only sort of, right? I mean, there's like a lot of time frames, a lot of milestones missing in there. So it's hard to know what it really means. But it's an invitation. We should think of it that way. So we should wrestle with the city of Eugene. And then the second thing is we should start figuring out how the LCOG process relates to this. Because the LCOG process, I mean, I guess, you know, you were saying, AJ, about having stuff that's useful. I would encourage you to think, not to think, expect from the LCOG process that you will get something that looks sort of like a menu. Like, if you want to achieve, when I think about what the scenario planning had, if you want to achieve emissions reductions of X from our transportation, in our transportation system, then here are the ways you can do that. And so we should start looking at that. Now, it's messy, right? Or it's messy in the sense that there are really poor boundaries here. It's never going to be the world is a particular way, and then just transit changes, right? Because ultimately, the way to do transit best is going to relate, I mean, forget about land use, that's the extra hard one, but even just like first last mile stuff, right, where we don't own and operate the bike share system. We're not going to own and operate the, you know, the e-scooters when they come. You know, we have, there are other moving parts, but we should be there to say, hey, you guys, I think we can go for this level of GHG reduction. It would mean doing X, Y, and Z with transit, and then you guys would have to do other stuff too. Can we have that be our goal? I fully acknowledge that's a super uncomfortable kind of goal for a public agency where, like, you know, as if enough was no out of your control already, right? Here we are, like, setting a goal with other people who Mark implied are unreliable already. No, but I mean, that, I'm just kidding. No, but I mean, that's sort of a joke about the land use, but, like, it is. Like, usually people do land use and then show up and ask for bus service. Right. So here we're trying to do the opposite of that with GHG reduction, trying to say we want to do this stuff together. So I would say, so sorry, to go on so long, to sum up, let's use the scenario planning process as a springboard to having a collaborative goal setting process with the right entities. That would be my suggestion. And it, you know, they're already kind of involved. Yeah. So
what's there?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And then let's set that like 90% fleet emissions reduction by 2021 goal that Marcus Jones is for.
Yeah.
No, but I do think we should sort of figure out the soonest point at which we can do that fairly responsibly, even if it's a little uncomfortable. Like, I want to be, I mean, I think having some ambition there is important. Yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful direction. Really, I, you know, in bringing this to the board committee, I'm hoping that, you know, if there ever was a time, you know, I feel very blessed to be here given the background and the interest that I have and to have this position. And I feel very blessed to have AJ and Mark who care about these issues and are supportive of this work. And I feel very blessed to have a board in this moment of time that also cares about this work and wants to see progress made. If any of those pieces were to ever change, I would like to have an opportunity right now where the board sets some policy that keeps us moving in this direction. If any, you know, person or you know, piece of that apparatus were to change or move on or, you know, come into a new role or whatever, I would like to make sure that we can set the framework so that we can keep marching in the right directions.
Yeah, I think that's a totally reasonable expectation. I'll just react in the following way. The 5 years ago version of myself would have had the same ambition, but the bottom line is that elected and appointed governance bodies can regard or disregard policy made by previous versions of themselves. In fact, they can even disregard policy that they themselves set, and this happens rather regularly. So I have to tell you, although I love policies, and I'm even advocating in some cases for some goals, they don't mean a whole hell of a lot unless people are willing to like push for implementation. And that's why I want to, the only goals that you hear me advocating for are goals where we deepen our collaboration with other entities, so we're actually doing the work to figure out what we have to do and what they have to do and what we can do together, or things that lead to a planning process so we understand what the goal would be. That's the fleet. So I basically described the first one I just described is the stuff with LCOG and the city and scenario planning, and the second one is the fleet, where we would basically march toward a plan. But the goal or policy is only there in service of pushing us toward a plan. But the high-level goals are ultimately completely vacuous without those action items, in my opinion. That is what I've seen over and over. They don't have the force of law, and even when they have the force of law, the people in charge of enforcing the law don't have to do anything. The climate recovery ordinance, I would argue, goes unimplemented because the governance body does not insist on implementation. I don't want to do that.
And May, you're kind of speaking a little bit about why I was bringing the two examples. I don't disagree with you on any of that. I think you're right on. The same governing body that approves something can then turn around and change it in the opposite direction. Or a new body could come in and change it in the opposite direction. So, and I know that definitely should concern you, Kelly, a lot, but and it concerns me as well. But one of the things that has been my
experience nationwide that what governing bodies and new management can't do is change the culture overnight. Culture takes 3 to 10 years to change. And what we are talking, why I brought those to you, is to say we want to weave them into the fabric of the district's business. Kelly talked about the person who cleans the buses should know what, how ridership is in, how they impact ridership. The person who cleans offices should know that. When you put it in the fabric, I will tell you, the fabric of the culture will outlast any board member, even 8 years. That fabric, literally, I will tell you, I've worked at organizations, and when they said is, yeah, they'll be out of here before they make any change, any, and it was true every time. And I've seen it nationwide at many transit agencies. But I, what I've seen, and this is some of the work that we've been doing, is changing the fabric of the organization so that nothing is, when AJ was the GM 20 years ago, this is the way things were, but we haven't done that in 20 years since she left. It has to be, it's like, we don't know who put this in place. This is just the way we do business. Like, it should outlast any one of us. And I think that's what Kelly's really talking about, is how does she get that support and how do we really refine it and how do we really integrate it so it will all last us all here at the table. Like, that's totally what we're talking about, totally. Because I've seen the same thing you have. They come, they have these grand plans, they're all fancy, they're put on the shelf, new management comes, and that's not their priorities, they're off to the next thing. And staff's like, they created a position, now the position's going away, and it's just like really. So I understand her concerns. And right now she's in a moment in time when she has, I think, board support and Mark's and my strong support, and now her new boss's strong support. So she's like, how do I capture it and how do I really do the work so that it's everlasting? So, or you know.
It's so, so important and so wise. The famous late management theorist Peter Drucker famously said, culture eats strategy for breakfast, right? Yeah, you know the quote.
Yep.
So absolutely, I would encourage you at any point along the way to tell us how we can do things at the board level that continue to foster and encourage certain cultural change, culture in the sense that you just meant it, organizational culture. And you know, goal setting and policy setting is part of that, of course. I mean, you want to make sure people understand the priorities of the people in those positions at this moment. But anything that you can do, you know, as people who've been in transit a long time, you know, been around the block, you know, help us understand what we can do to set that tone most effectively. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we will take back a lot of your comments.
Thank you.
Well, then are we done? So we can adjourn this meeting.
Who's in charge here?
Kate.
Well, actually, I would just ask, was there a time frame on the, or maybe you said this, Kelly, on the LCOG, the scenario planning re-ramp up and the stuff with
all
ODOT?
I saw was the original time frame, which showed that they would be done by now. So,
oops.
So I need to get a more updated version of that. But we are actively working right this second on what the inputs are at various levels of ambition.
Okay.
For the initial scenario project. So AJ,
okay.
Mark, and I actually have a meeting with Andrew Martin in planning next week to talk about what are the levels of inputs we want to give to that process for the first round of outputs.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to look at, you know, along the lines of that scenario planning process, where what is the level that we're on right now? What would be a slightly more ambitious level? What would be an even more ambitious level than that? And if we went backwards from where we are today, what's the next level beyond? And what kind of impact would that have if we moved backwards, right?
Yeah.
So figuring out what the inputs would be, you know, in the backward scenario, it could be if we faced an economic downturn and we had to cut service to the community, what would that look like? You know, those kinds of things that we're trying to figure out what the inputs in terms of revenue miles, revenue hours, those kinds of things that we need to give the modelers to be able to put into that model and figure out what the results would look like, and therefore what kind of levers we would need to pull if we wanted to achieve the most ambitious outcomes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I would just say if by the next one of these meetings, we could have some update from LCOG or ODOT or whoever on just the time frame when that stuff would happen. That, I mean, that would sort of frame that. And then we can figure out from there what we wanted, you know, who we want to meet with and so on. You know, I realize we didn't have a particular action item related to the climate recovery or related to the CAP 2.0, which is out for comment in draft form right now. Kind of feel like we should say something while it's out in draft form, but I don't know what that would be exactly.
Do you remember when the cutoff for comment is?
I don't remember. I want to say it's in January sometime, but
is it? Okay.
I don't know. That's conjecture. So
that could be something the committee discusses at the next meeting. We just need to make sure it's in time.
Yeah.
And
so the next one of these meetings should be before a board meeting, but
the board could approve it. If that's
so, we're looking at 9th of January, maybe, or 16th. No, wait, 9th.
Let's look at that. Do we know if Kate has any restrictions on her calendar?
Not that I'm aware of. I thought I could take a couple of dates and run that by her to make sure she's available, and then send out a meeting.
Yes, a doodle pool.
Post board packet review. Okay. United Front.
I'll just conference put this in space.
The 9th is looking like a good meeting day for me.
Hold on,
you guys. The other date is the 10th, which is a Friday, but
I'm not going to be available on either Thursdays at this time.
Thursdays altogether?
Pretty much. I mean, not until 4:30 or something like that. But and then we're starting to extend people's day. If we can do Fridays. Or theoretically Wednesdays.
Friday, okay. We'll look at that 10th.
You know, Wednesdays are tough.
Wednesdays or that 17th, okay. With the 10th or the 17th. And you do know this committee could be earlier, I think.
7 a.m.
Those do work here.
I don't think I make it by 7.
Nor would I. Fridays.
Yeah, so Fridays, just so you know, but we don't have to wait till 4 p.m. If the three of
or
you
2
could.
P.m.
Or 2
p.m.
2 p.m.? Okay, 2 p.m.
We could do it 9 o'clock, yeah. 9 a.m. or 10 a.m.
Yeah, 10 maybe.
So okay. we'll give you
right
the...
Right now, my Fridays are open, and that Friday is open. I'll hold it if you want to check with Kate. If you're okay,
I don't have anything on Friday that I can't move around.
Well, ideally, we would need, just coming back to, if we wanted to go to the board, the January 15th board meeting, the 17th.
That's what I was trying to figure out that week.
That Friday, the 3rd, right after the holiday, that's a Friday. So maybe the 3rd and the 10th, we'd look at both.
I can't do the 3rd.
Can't do the 3rd?
Well, maybe like late in the day, but it starts to get dicey.
Yeah. Because if we do want an item for action, we do have to post it, right, on the 8th. On the 9th, it goes out on the 9th.
For an item for action.
Yeah.
Kate had a point.
We can add agenda item for transparency. It's best if we can post it ahead.
We can do it as draft as we can. And the other thing is selecting a date. And the other thing I would say is if you guys have an idea of what you would want your comment to be, because the time frame would be so tight, it would be good. If you have an idea of what you would want that comment to be.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I mean, I'm the one who brought this up, and I complained about the current state of it, but it's possible that there is no feedback we can give that substantively changes the report right now. I acknowledge that that's a possibility, but I still think it might be meaningful as a way of foreshadowing the collaboration that I talked about before around community-wide goals. So we should say something.
So I just looked it up on their website. I don't see when the community comments will end, but I do see that CAP 2.0 final action
will be taken by the City Council on January 15th, 2020. So.
For us?
Yeah.
The 15th.
January 15th.
Oh, so the, so 5.5 hours before our board meeting, they will have a work session.
Yes. Yeah, so maybe that's none. Okay. What I would say is,
I can go rogue and weigh in.
There is a,
and weigh in separately. Well, but I'm just saying, it's entirely appropriate for a board member speaking for himself or herself, not for the board, to say something to City Council.
Yeah, I tried that.
Not an, it's not appropriate.
Hey, well, no, in an appointed or an elected position.
Yeah.
It's really one, while you're in that position, pretty much anything you do speaks to that position, which is.
And you can, you, there's nothing forbids you from doing it. I think Camille's just cautioning you on the,
we have been
the challenges.
Sure,
and Don kind of can probably, so just, you know, be forewarned.
We've been cautioned by council and the governor's office on those types of actions. So, no, there is no statute saying that that cannot be done. We have just been advised that it's best not to. While in your appointed or elected.
Duly noted.
Okay. Separately,
Monday
the 6th, there is also availability if either of the two of you have availability.
I can do Monday the 6th.
Earlier in the day. I know Kate can't do evenings, but like a 10 to noon.
Not as early as 10. After like 11,
okay.
I could do it.
I can check with Kate.
Okay.
I am not available.
Yeah,
that
I
day.
Can move stuff around mostly. I find out early enough.
Okay.
All right. And then if you haven't already listened to it, you should go listen to Kelly on City Club. Just going to say.
Wonderful.
Awesome. I don't know. It already happened. It was on.
No, but it's on KLCC's website.
Yeah.
Like you can go. I actually haven't gone to do that, but I mean, they are always available on KLCC's website. Great job.
Did you listen?
No. To pieces. No, I did to pieces, and then I was like interrupted from it. But, Kathy was in the car, and she was like, "Is that Kelly?" This is funny.
On Monday.
Okay. So if we're done here, I'll just adjourn the meeting of the Lane Transit District Board of Directors Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee for Thursday, December 12th, 2019.
All right.
Well done.
And we're done.
We're off.